Chazar zegt in Eshubach Chetzah Shuag, and Mishnah Masechet Zohar Yostaf Yud Aleph. Zok Marbrei says the words May Am Ha'aretz written regarding individuals Chatzah come to exclude a Kohen Gadol. Another drasha that comes to exclude a Nasi. We can ask that they already excluded from the fact that the Torah tells us the Kohen Gadol brings a pyre and the Nasi brings a male goat, which are different than the individual's Chatzahs. The answer is that we within the Kohen Gadol only brings a pyre when his sin is based on his erroneous psak. When he does a simple Shoigig, maybe he brings a regular Chatzah like a regular person. Therefore, the Pasuk says May Am Ha'aretz to exclude him even in this case. So now, the fact that this makes sense for the Kohen Gadol. What about the Nasi? Since Nasi brings his carbon for simple Shoigig, so why do we have to exclude a Nasi? Ephemar Zidanim Rava answered the cases where the Nasi ate a kazayis of chela before he became Nasi, then he became the Nasi and he realized that he ate the chela. We would think that he has to bring the individual's chatas, right? The teacher says he does not. Ephemar, this makes sense according to Rav Shimon, who says that we follow the time of the knowledge of the sin. However, according to Rabban, who only looked at the time of the sin itself, in this case, he would bring the tak of the individual's chatas. Ephemar, rather, as Zidanim Rava said, the case would be where he ate half of the kazayis of chela as an individual, then he was appointed Nasi, then he completed the kazayis and realized what he had done. We would think that the two halves should combine and make him chayiv an individual's chatas. The teacher says he's not chayiv. Rav asked Rav Nachman, does becoming a Nasi make a separation? For example, if he ate a half a kazayis as an individual, he was then appointed Nasi and was removed from Nasi, and then he completed the kazayis all within Kedei Achilas Pras. Do we say that in the previous case, the two halves don't combine because he had different status when he ate each half, but in this case, he had the same status, and therefore, maybe they combine? Or do we say they're not going to combine because he was a Nasi in between? After tomorrow, we can answer from what Ula in the name of Yechanan said, that if someone ate chela separated a carbon chatos to bring for the Aveira and then became a mummer, and he then came back to Yiddishkeit, he cannot use that carbon because once it was pushed away, it remains pushed away, it was dochwi. The same would be said regarding the carbon of this person once he became the Nasi. Rav says, no, it's not a proof. Rav Yechon, in this case, since a mummer is not fit to bring a carbon, is considered to be pushed away. However, in the case of a Nasi, he's fit to bring a carbon, or it's just a different type. Therefore, the cases are not comparable. Rav Zeri asked Rav Sheshes, if a person ate Savich Chelev and then was appointed Nasi and then realized that he ate Savich Chelev, would he be chayev to bring an Ashram Toli? According to Rabban, we look at the time of the sin, it's clear that he would be chayev. The question is, according to Rav Shimon, do we say that since in the case of a Chatas, his change in status makes him potter, the same is true for an Ashram Toli, or do we say that he becomes potter from a Chatas only because his carbon changes along with the status? But since the Ashram Toli doesn't change along with the status, maybe he remains chayev. Take who bleibt as Shaila. To teach that one who is a mummer would not bring a chatas if he doesn't have a b'shoigig. Rav Shimon bar Yosi, in the name of Rav Shimon, said we don't need a pasuk for that because we darshan another pasuk to teach that only someone who would stop from doing the aver if he knew that he was doing the aver brings a chatas for that aver. A person who wouldn't stop anyway, he's a mummer, he would not bring such a carbon. What's the difference between these drashas? So Rav Nuna said the difference would be one who was a mummer to eat chela, but who mistakenly ate blood. The Tanakhama would hold that he's considered to be a mummer regarding blood as well, and therefore he couldn't bring a carbon. Rav Shimon bar Yosi and Rav Shimon would hold that since he would stop from eating blood if he knew what he was doing, he would bring a carbon for having eaten the blood. Mara Rava said that everyone agrees that the one who is a mummer to eat chelev would not be considered a mummer for eating blood. Mara, rather, you're right. The machloikas would be regarding a person who eats nevela l'te'ovoin, who thought he was eating kosher fast and mistakenly ate chelev. Tanakhama holds, since he eats l'te'ovoin b'meiz, he's considered to be a mummer, he can't bring a carbon. Rav Shimon holds, since if he had mutter meat, he would not eat the aser meat, he's not considered to be a mummer, and therefore you could bring a chatos. There's a braisa that says, one who eats chelev is a mummer. Who is a mummer? One who eats nevela shrevish katsum remosim or drinks yayin nesach. Raisa, the son of Yehuda, says, it's also someone who wears kalayim. The braisa first says what a mummer is, and then he asks, what's a mummer? So Rabbi Rachan and Rabbi Yechanan said, the braisa means to say, if someone eats chelev teyavo and he's a mummer, if he does so, lahaches, he's a tzeduki. The braisa then says, who is a mummer that's typically a tzeduki? It's one who eats nevelish treifish katsum or muslim or drinks ayin nesach. What's the difference in the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosi? The difference would be regarding climb the Rabbanon. The Tanakhama says that only when it's also their rice it makes him a mummer. Rabbi Yosi says since climb is a well known Isser, he's a mummer even if it's only also their Rabbanon. Looking at Rabbi, we learned that with regard to a mummer, there's machalik in Rabbach and Ravina. One says that a mummer who eats nevelish litayavin is called a mummer and one who eats nevelish lihachis is called a tzaduki. The other one says that one who eats nevelish lihachis is considered to be a mummer and a tzaduki is someone who worships avoy dezar. In fact, Rabbi Isa says, if a person eats a flea or a gnat, he's a mummer. Now, this person clearly is doing it just lahachas, because there's no pleasure in eating these things, and the Isa says that he's considered to be a mummer. This refutes the first view. Furthermore, the person wants to taste something osir, and he gets pleasure from doing so. That's why he's considered to be a mummer, because he does get pleasure from eating the gnat. Mishnah then said, Ve'ezehu nasi ze melech v'chulo. Rabbi Isa says, the pasuk says, nasi brings a special chatas. We would think it even applies to the nasi v'ev shevet. The pasuk therefore says, Mikol mitzvah Hashem alekov. A pasuk regarding the king also says, Laman yilmad. So the Gzeres Shavah teaches that the Nasi over here refers to the king. Rebbe Yesochia, would I bring a carbon of the Nasi? Rebbe was the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael and was considered to be the ruler. Chiya said, no, because you have a counterpart above all the Reish Kalusa, and therefore you're not the one who only has only Hashem above you, because the Reish Kalusa is on top of you. Rabbi asked, when there was a king of Yisrael, there was a king of Beis David, and they would each bring the carbon of the Nasi. So we see that there are, when there are two rulers, each brings a special carbon. Rav Chiya said that because those two kings were equal in power. Here, we are subordinate to the Reish Kalusa. Rav Safra had a version where Rav Chiya answered that the Reish Kalusa is referred to as the leader, like the Pasuk says, Lo Yosu Shevet B'Yehuda, whereas you, the Nasi, are referred to as a legislator, like the Pasuk says, Mechoy Kek Mibain Raglav. Therefore, you would not bring the carbon of the Nasi. Zok, the next mission. Who's the Kohen Mashiach who brings the power for a Chatos based on his erroneous ruling? It's the Kohen Gadol who's anointed with the Shemana Mishkan, not a Kohen Gadol who is installed just by putting on the Marah Begadim. There is Zakan Mishnah Vaita. There's no difference between the Kohen Gadol who was anointed Shemana Mishcha and who someone who just had a Riba Begadim, except that the Riba Begadim would not bring the special Chatos that's brought by a Kohen Gadol when he passes wrong and sins based on that. Mishnah continues. There's no difference between the Kohen Gadol who is currently in office and one who is no longer in office, except that the one currently in office brings a special power in Yom Kippur and the special carbon mincha brought by the Kohen Gadol each day. They're both equal with regard to doing the avoda for the rest of Yom Kippur. They're both commanded to only marry a basula. Both usher to marry an almana. Both are also usher to become tameh even to their immediate relatives, or to let their hair grow, or to rip their clothing in mourning. And the death of either of them frees someone who's in galus for having killed b'shoigig. Now he can go free. Zok Gemara Brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shemana Mishcha made by Moshe in the Midbar would be made by boiling the roots of spices and olive oil. Rabbi Yosef says, there's not even enough oil in which to boil the roots, meaning they would absorb all the oil. How can you say they did more than that? Rather, they would first soak the roots in water and then pour the oil over them, putting the fragrance into the oil. And Moshe would then wipe off all the oil from the roots and save it with the other oil. Rabbi Yehuda said, you think that there's only one nase that was done with Shemana Mishcha? It was made with only 12 lug of oil and was used to anoint the entire Mishkan and all its Kalim and Aaron and his sons all 7 days of Miluim, and it will still exist in the future. Another Brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda said, many miracles happened with the Shemana Mishcha from the beginning to the end. It was made with only 12 lug of oil, and although the pot absorbs when you cook, and the roots absorb, and the fire causes evaporation, the oil was used to anoint the entire Mishkan and its Kalim, Aaron and all his sons for all 7 days of Miluim, and to anoint the Kahanim, Gedolim, and kings. And the Brisa just says, in the case of a Kohen Gadol, he has to be anointed, even if his father was also Kohen Gadol. In the case of a king, if his father was king, he doesn't have to be anointed. And although we find such kings were anointed, like Shlaima, even though his father was also anointed, that's because there were those who contested their kingship. And the Brisa continues, yet this oil remains in full existence for future times. Like the Pasuk says, Shem Mishchas Kodesh, Yezeh Lila Dereseichem. The word Zeh is Gematria 12 for the 12 lukum of oil that was used. How do we know the Kohen Gadol must be anointed even if his father was a Kohen Gadol? The Pasuk says, V'akohen ha-Mashiach tachtov mibonov, teaches that even if he's a child of a Kohen Gadol, he has to be Moshuach, he has to be anointed. How do we know that a king is not anointed if his father was king? Rabbi Achav Yaakov said, the Pasuk talks of a king as if it's an inheritance to his children. Therefore, a son doesn't have to be anointed. How do we know that if there's a dispute regarding the kingship, even the king's son should be anointed? Rabbi Papa said, the Pasuk says, Hu banov bekeriv Yisrael, which teaches that if there's shalom among Klal Yisrael, then it's an automatic passing of the kingship from father to son. But if there's no shalom, it does not pass automatically and you should do a new Mashiach. Abraisa says that Yehu ben Nimshi did not need to be anointed to become king, but he was anointed because of the fight with Yehoram. Why can't we say that he needed to be anointed because his father was not the king? After all, the Brisa is missing words and should say that only the kings of Beis David are anointed, the kings of Yisrael are not. Therefore, the only reason that Yehu, who was king of Yisrael, was anointed was because of his argument with Yehoram. Rava said the pasuk which Hashem tells Shmuel to anoint David uses the word Zeh, which teaches that it's only this one, David's the Melucha, David's dynasty, who needs the anointing, but not the kings of Yisrael. In fact, if a king of Yisrael is not supposed to be anointed, how could the Yehoram Me'ila use the Shemana Mishcha just because it was an argument? And for tomorrow, it's like Rav Papa says elsewhere that they anointed him with other oil, not the Shemana Mishcha. In fact, the Brisa quoted earlier said that Yahyachaz should not have been anointed because he was the son of a king, but he was anointed because he was 2 years younger than his brother Yahyakim. Now, pasuk says that Yahshio had four sons, Yahyachanan, Yahyakim, Tizkiyahu, and Shalom. So Rabbi Yochanan says that Yochanan was Yehoyachaz, and the pasuk says that Yehoyachaz was the Bechor. He was the Bechor for the kingship. He was the first to be king. He actually was not the oldest brother. In fact, our pasuk seems to teach that the other brother was supposed to get the kingship. So why did Yehoyachaz get it? Mar says because he was more worthy of the throne than his brother. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan also said that Shalom was Tzidkiyo. How could that be when the pasuk says Tzidkiyo and then says Shalom? And for the Gemara, he's listed third because he was the third of the brothers. He's listed fourth because he was the fourth to be king. Because actually, each of his after his two brothers became king, one of his nephews became king before him as well. Isaac says he was called Shalom because he was perfect in his deeds. Others say it's because the Malchus Beis David ended in his days. His true name was Matanya, but Nevuchadnezzar called him Tzidkiyo, as if to say Hashem should justify my judgment on you if you rebel against me. How can it be that the Shemana Mishcha was around at the time that Yehoyachaz took the throne? The Brisa says that Yeshio hid the Shemana Mishcha along with the Aron and many other special items. This happened way before the Yehoyachaz took the throne. And from where Papa said, he was anointed with balsam oil, not with Moshe Shemana Mishcha.